Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who is putting together these college basketball schedules, Cole? It's a Friday in January, a month to go in the season, 10 games roughly for most teams. And there's exactly one game tonight in college basketball that features a top 25 team.
Whoa, one game. You mean to tell me Yale and Princeton right now doesn't interest you?
Well, they're not top 25. Why would I watch a not top 25 team play? It's not my school. Well, they're not top 25 either.
Yale, but if you watch that game, you might get smarter. Yale and Princeton.
How? Are they going to teach me the quadratic equation while they're shooting shots?
They might.
Now, if they were to sports science this thing up.
Oh, there you go.
And teach me about launch angles and arc radiuses and power velocity on the shot.
You want to learn while you watch.
Now, that would be worth watching.
Okay.
That would be worth watching. So what they need to do, Cole, is instead of just having Joe Blow call the game, they need to bring in somebody from the math department. To explain, you got sports guy here, you got smart guy here, let's blend them together.
I do like that. I have always
seems like
said,
a good idea. It's like, here's the church, here's the people, open it up, and there's all the people,
right.
there's
that's
all
right.
the people.
I've always said, and I stand by this with baseball too, I've always said that the TV broadcasts have a lot to do with the people watch sports. What I mean is, for baseball, we were talking about baseball earlier, I think as a Braves fan, I would have a lot more interest in any random Wednesday night major league game if I turned the TV on and the players were calling the game. Like the players
Ooh.
Were something like that. Something to where, you know, it was just different. I'm not saying Nickelodeon, Diesel. I'm just saying for me, a random, let's say, Friday night baseball game in 2 months from now between the Yankees and Blue Jays, I'm not going to watch. It doesn't move the meter.
Well, they tried that for a while. You know, they put mics on a lot of the players.
Yeah,
so
for a little while.
You've got more access to the players. I think you overestimate, Cole, how entertaining most of these guys are. They're probably the baseball, Major League Baseball players.
No, that's what I'm saying. I love it. I don't want – you don't think they're entertaining?
Not all of them.
Well, you find –
I mean, let's be real.
I'm not saying all the players should do it. I'm just saying maybe not the players broadcast
like 50
the 50
guys on these rosters combined, how many of them are entertaining enough
50.
To
– I'd say 10.
10?
I'd say 10, a fifth of one, you.
And how many of them can do it without cursing?
Well, that's fine.
Without
but
commenting on the blonde in the third row.
That would be great, though. Well, that's what I'm saying. Baseball would be fun to watch. Oh, and by the way, Aaron Judge just hit a home run, right? Like, I'm not saying go to the letting the players broadcast, I'm kidding, right? But kind of, not really.
Potentially problematic is what
What I'm saying is I think going back to your point about learning about college basketball or sports science, whatever it is, I think the broadcasts have a lot to do with people. I mean, I listen to some play-by-play guys to try to get better and learn how to do better play-by-play and I'm entertained, but I don't have a dog in the fight, Diesel, of who's playing the game.
Yeah.
I just
– Well, you need the entertaining play-by-play
you
guy.
You need entertaining,
the one who carries the game. But then you also need a really smart color commentary guy. You know, dynamite drop-in, Monty.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like,
you need that.
Tonight, Indiana-Purdue, to your point, it's the only game on worth watching tonight. And again, what we're doing right now, we're coming up with ways to make it better. If we went through right now and said, okay, Diesel, Harvard-Columbia tonight, 7 o'clock, Dartmouth and Cornell at 7 o'clock, Cornell.
Dartmouth?
Dartmouth and Cornell, Akron and Kent State, Fairfield and Quinnipiac, Mount Mary's and Mary. I can't even pronounce these freaking St.
Merrimack.
Peter. St. Peter's and Ryder at 7, and Siena Narcissist, and
maybe it's because I'm immature, but St. Peter's and Ryder playing each other, that just sounds dirty.
Ooh, I didn't think about that. What I'm saying is though, like if we just went through every game, it'd be boring. But we have to add a little entertainment. Same thing with basketball, baseball, whatever. I want 2025 and going forward, our sports broadcasting to be more. I don't mean Pat McAfee. But I tell you what I did enjoy. Hey, I did enjoy the Pat McAfee College National Championship broadcast. I watched it. I enjoyed it. The him on the sideline with Tebow and a couple other ex-players and them being right there on the field calling the game, that's what I mean. I enjoy that style. It's more modern, right? It's not as traditional.
You know what style that is, Cole? And I'm going to do something here. That is ESPN doing this during the game. They're just jingling and jangling keys in front of your face, hoping that that'll keep your attention.
And I think in today's day and age, I think you have to, right?
I can't stand Pat McAfee, though. I
like Pat.
Hate Pat McAfee. I thought Pat McAfee was funny for like 5 minutes when he first started on game day.
Yeah. If you asked me why I like him, I think it's his style of show that I like.
Well, you know what's funny? I was watching game day. I don't know if it was a national championship game or if it was one of the semifinal games. And Pat is doing this thing like where he's making his pick, right? He starts talking about the team that he thinks is going to win, and he's hyping. And I said, Ashley, watch. He's going to pull the rug out and pick the other team. And then what did he do? He pulled the rug out and picked the other team. I've seen Pat McAfee do that like 5 times.
Sure.
You know, like the really famous one was they were at
Georgia.
They were at a Georgia, Georgia, Alabama, yeah. And he gets the whole crowd singing the Georgia fight song, and they're all like, woo, 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 barking. And then he goes, give me Alabama to break their hearts. You know, and I'm like, all right, it was funny the first time. But like the fifth time, come on, Pat, you're a one-trick pony.
But you know what?
Why don't you just get drunk and curse on the air some more?
I think while I don't like Pat McAfee because – like when I say I enjoy his show, I like the style of his show. I don't think he's like the best at sports casting. I just think his style for somebody like me, it's modern. It's fun. It's different.
It's very loose. I'll give you that.
I like that style. And again, if you ask me if I like Pat McAfee, just him alone, I don't know that. I think it's more about what he's done to kind of modernize game. I think he saved game day.
To me, it's not what Pat McAfee was. To me, it was a lot better than what Pat McAfee has become. He's become a caricature of himself. He took all of the over-the-top elements that were great at first and said, you know what? Let me get rid of any and all journalistic conversation. Not journalistic, but sports commentary conversation.
Yeah.
And let me throw all that out the window and let's amp this thing up to the point where it's silly and it became Pee-wee's Playhouse.
You know what? The only thing I would say is how many more people watch sports now because of a guy like that? I don't because I watched him before, but I think he introduced a new crowd of people who got tired of this. You know, one guy on this side of the desk,
just
one guy on the other
outside.
You know, just the same old like debate, and I think First Take's gotten a lot better, but I think it used to be so stale with just the same old, and Pat brought a different view to it. Anyways, tomorrow, Diesel, a lot better games where you're not going to have mine and your made-up fantasy broadcast, right?
I think you have to, for tonight's games, with all of the Ivy League games, I think you have to upload a photo of your diploma to the ESPN app just to be able to log in and watch.
Do you know where your diploma is?
Yeah.
I don't know where mine is.
It's in my parents' house in my childhood bedroom in the dresser drawer. It's in the black protective thing.
I would hope mine's still in that black thing,
too. Did you just fold yours in half? You were a bad kid, though, weren't you?
No, I don't know where it is. I thought about that the other day. I thought, wonder where my diploma is. I probably should find it, right?
Doesn't count if you don't have your
diploma.
Should
I care about it? Like, should I care to not know? I don't know. It was a random thought the other day. I said, I don't know if I know where it is or not, but maybe I'll find it one day when I'm cleaning out, right, or moving. So tomorrow, Diesel, it starts off with a bang. And again, if you're a college basketball fan, this will be a good one to start your day with at noon. Florida, Tennessee. Tennessee 17-4, Florida 18-2. This will be a good one. A SEC battle. Not only is it SEC, two top 10 teams. This might be the best game of the day at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, sign me up. 12 noon in Knoxville. A lot to write home to mom about on this one because you're looking at two of the best teams. One of these teams will probably be in the Final Four. One of them will be. Will I say both of them? Maybe not. Maybe maybe Tennessee or Florida gets knocked out, but you're looking at a Final Four team and one of these and you're looking at two teams that one of, in my opinion, one of them are going to be in the Final Four when it's all said and done.
I don't hate that prediction. I think that's really good. Both of these are fantastic basketball teams.
Let's see. JD says, I go on interviews all the time who ask for a hard copy of my diploma and degree, not let's see, also tomorrow. I don't get it. What is he talking about?
He's saying that people, when you go to an interview, they don't actually ask you for your diploma.
Oh, a job interview.
Like a job interview. People like make it a big deal to go get a diploma these days.
Oh, yeah, he's right. That's true.
And nobody asks for it. Like, really, no one asks for it.
You know what? He's right. I don't know if I've...
They just ask, how are you going to contribute to our corporate culture?
Ugh, I don't do jobs. I don't like that.
I went to school for 5 years to get... To understand what to do in this job. And you want to know how I'm going to add to your corporate culture? I don't work there yet.
You went for
how
five
am I supposed to know?
As well?
Yeah, I went for five.
I did too. I redshirted my freshman.
I got midway through my junior year and said, ooh, crap, I'm not two semesters away from being ready to graduate. So I was like, let me add a minor to this.
Yeah. No, I was kind of in the same boat.
I ended up working in my minor field. My minor field was broadcasting.
Oh. I don't think I minored anything. No, I didn't redshirt. I was kidding. I didn't redshirt. I tell people that though. I just redshirted.
You didn't take a large enough course load to get out of there in four.
Yeah, that's all.
What did you major in college?
Communications. This.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was a marketing major.
Yeah.
And a broadcasting minor.
Yep. This is what I majored in. I did not mind. I'm pretty sure I didn't minor in.
But also, you and I both know, Cole. Would you agree that having any kind of college education in broadcasting is essentially meaningless to this profession? Basically. Can you be entertaining? Can you hold a thought? Can you turn on a mic and talk for 15 minutes?
I think it's becoming more and more meaningless, yeah.
Yeah, I genuinely wouldn't say that much of what I learned
I'll tell you this,
really matters.
Not to get on a rabbit trail here because this whole segment has been, but it's okay. I think there are things that you learn in college in communication that are very important, like media ethics, right? Like things that I see these, you know, everybody nowadays has a outlet and a platform and they cover this and that, and there's no media ethics when it comes to understanding what ethics are and doing the right thing. I'm not going to get down on
that. Did Pat McAfee take media ethics?
I don't know. I'd say probably not.
What day did they cover that, the class that said you're not supposed to go to Ireland, drink 30 Guinnesses, and vomit on live television?
You know, there's got to be somebody like college professors.
When did they miss
that
in media?
That's what I'm saying. But again, it's changing so much that, to your point, it's like maybe you don't. But I think it's important. I think it's important to know what to say in certain situations, what to break. You know, when it comes to breaking news, covering things, there's certain media ethics that I think are important. But no, you're right. Hey, your App State Mountaineers play tomorrow night, or tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Georgia State, App State 6-4 in the Sun Belt. Georgia State 4-6 in the Sun Belt. 1:30 tomorrow, Clemson at NC State in Raleigh, a big ACC game, but NC State's no good. Very similar to last Saturday.
NC State took Duke to the brink.
It did
last
but
week.
I think that was a fluke. I think.
Oh.
I think. I'll tell you this.
That's not nice.
I said last week that Clemson would go to Virginia Tech and win handily. It got close. It was close in the second half. They ended up winning pretty handily. I think Clemson's really good, and I also think that, like, you know, you can have really good teams throughout the course of the year struggle at times. I'm not saying like Clemson's elite by any stretch, but I think Clemson is at the point now. They had some figuring out to do early in the season. They had some guys who were sick as well, like Victor Lockin. And I think this team now, when I watch them, they're starting to gel and they're starting to hit their stride better. In my opinion, I think what I'm getting at is I think they go up to NC State and I think they win by 10 plus, maybe 15 plus. I don't think it's relatively close. I think Clemson gets a big win on the road against NC State. NC State, to your point, this past week, played Duke close, maybe a little high, and then a drop-off. We'll see. Bottom line is they're a 2-7 team in the ACC, though.
How many Clemson fans will take the result of this game, compare it to the result of NC State at Duke, and you kind of try to use the transitive property
well,
to say,
happen because,
here's how we compare to Duke. Because well, if NC State can go on the road and keep it tight with Duke, it was close. It was a one-possession game, I think.
Yeah.
I think at like the three-minute mark or four-minute mark. And then Duke, you know, pulls away in the last minute or two of the game. If you can say NC State can do that on the road, and then if Clemson can beat NC State comfortably in Raleigh, then I think you got something there.
Well, again, you can do it to a degree, right? You can do it to a degree. You can't measure your entire, like...
I think you measure all of it that way.
Well, here's the deal. The reality is you play them in a week. 1 week from tomorrow, right? I believe I'm right on that. Somebody, tell me if I'm wrong. Y'all are good at that a lot. I believe 1 week from tomorrow, Clemson hosts Duke. So you can use a little bit of a diesel to measure and see, you know, where exactly you thought NC State exploited some of Duke's weaknesses, or what you don't hope for is Duke just had an off night.
I'm saying if you beat NC State by 10, then you could beat Duke by 20.
Ooh.
Transitive property, baby.
That is that's bold there, Cotton. That is bold. Also at 2 o'clock tomorrow, or Clemson, by the way, is 1:30 if I misspoke. 2 o'clock tomorrow, Auburn, Ole Miss. Auburn's the best team in the country. Number one, 7-0 in the SEC, 19-1, just really playing well. JD asked, how did the Gamecocks beat Clemson earlier this year? It's a great question. Also a great question talking about Auburn. How did South Carolina almost beat Auburn? 7-0, Carolina's 0-8. So it's crazy. Anything can happen in the SEC, but good game tomorrow. Two top 25 teams.
Should the University of Miami and or its collectives, mm-hmm. This is a good question for Madcraft if you're watching, should they be able to sue Jim Larrañaga for really screwing that program over?
God, they're terrible.
In a massive way. They're bad.
They're horrible.
0-10 in the ACC, 4-17 overall. Jim Larrañaga, fantastic coach, probably going to go into the Hall of Fame one day. But to leave your team the way that he did right before the season started, I mean, that is truly awful to do that your team.
Maybe he knew what was coming.
Look at what was the Virginia coach's name who bolted on them right before the season started as well. Virginia is terrible. They're 3-7 in the ACC, but at least they're hovering just under 500, which in most years, that would make them a tournament team.
It would. It's interesting, though, because it's almost like did Jim Larrañaga know, like, hey, we're going to suck.
I don't want this on my resume.
I really don't want any part of this. So I'm out. Y'all have a good one. A Big 12 game tomorrow at 4 o'clock, though, really intriguing. Kansas-Baylor should be a good one. Kansas is 6-3 in the Big 12. Baylor is 5-4. And then tomorrow, we have Furman, right? Let me double check on that. I believe Furman is in action tomorrow, just for you Furman fans out there. I know that SoCon is Wednesday, Saturday. So
no, Furman does not
play tomorrow.
No.
No kidding.
Southern Conference,
off.
You'll have Samford Citadel.
Yeah.
Mercer, Chattanooga. That's not an awful game. VMI, Western Carolina, and then Wofford, UNCG. Wofford, UNCG is the game of the day.
Yeah,
that'd
be a good game.
6 o'clock, too.
So Furman's off. They're off completely.
Furman is off.
How
correct.
About that? So no Furman tomorrow. And then the game you brought up earlier.
Furman plays on Sunday. Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah. Is this the makeup game? Wasn't there a makeup game? Didn't they have to miss one?
Maybe.
At some point in the season. That's 2 o'clock tip-off. 17-5 Furman at 12-10 East Carolina. Both of them 5-4 in the SoCon. So the winner of this game is able to maintain pace. The loser is going to fall way, way back.
All right, the last game before we run to a break. Don't look at your laptop, Diesel. Duke is favored by how many over North Carolina tomorrow night?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I believe I saw this earlier. Okay. So I think it was 13.5.
It was 13.5. Duke is favored by 13.5.
I didn't want to lie to you
smart, really smart. I'll tell you this.
Wow, look at the big brain on Diesel.
I think the NC State loss, let me back up. I misspoke. I think the NC State game where Duke almost lost the game was the best thing that could happen to Duke here because they're refocused. I think John Shire will have this team ready to play. I know North Carolina Duke, it's a rivalry. You throw it out the window. A couple of years ago, North Carolina beat Duke in the Final Four to eliminate them. It's always a fun game. However, I think tomorrow, Diesel, in the midst of a rivalry game, my prediction is Duke covers. I think they cover the 13.5.
Yeah, North Carolina's not good. They're really
just
bad
inconsistent,
this year.
Man.
Yeah, R.J. Davis, not what we thought he was going to be. Is one of those, I think the team's kind of giving up on him slowly but surely, giving up on Hubert Davis, and they're not going to perform against Duke. No, not a chance.
Oh, we'll see. We shall see, though.
On the other side of the break, Cole, we had a great conversation earlier with Jordan Kay of the State Newspaper, talking all things South Carolina Gamecocks. A lot going into the basketball program, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of football as well. That's coming up next right here on The Fan Upstate, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, and everywhere you are on the free Odyssey app.